This is Treasure Chest of Big Band Music. Just want to give you a little bit of the Christmas spirit as we get to the last part of this holiday season. Wanting to wish each and every one of you a safe and quiet holiday, except for maybe New Year's Day when you can do a little bit of fun, but always make sure you have a designated driver if you're going to have too much fun. Shortly we follow with Jay and the Journal, and following that will be Highway 61. And while Joanne's on vacation, we have Chris Wright and Mike Holliday sitting in for her. This is Love Beth, your hostess for Treasure Chest of Band. See you next Friday from 10 to 1, and I'll continue with our little travel. We go a little bit of old, a little bit of new, and a little bit of the current. I'm going to take you out now with Charles Tolliver and Round Midnight. You are listening to WHFR Dearborn, 89.3, Making Waves. WHFR Dearborn, www.whfr.fm on the World Wide Net. This is LaBeth saying goodbye until next Friday.
This is WHFR Dearborn. Time now for our public affairs show. We call it the new WHFR Journal. And this is Jay Koronick with you for our last show of 2007. Why? Well, just because time is running out. That's right. It is the 28th of December, 2007. So a special end of the year. New Year's resolution, perhaps, thinking new thoughts kind of show, and we'll be starting that right after this, sort of inspirational song from 40 years ago. This was a big, play on Broadway, musical, 40 years ago, and it started like this. Remember the Age of Aquarius as done by those folks from Hair. That was the original Broadway recording, and that's the lead-off song from the experience to get you into the feeling that something new is happening. Oh, yeah, big changes were about in 1968. People thought it would be peace and love forever. A whole new dawn. I'm not quite sure how, in terms of astrology, the Aquarius thing fits in. I think that is the water sign, and water is a good thing. We all like water. But nonetheless, that was the dream of so-called hippies. bad choice of name, but in any event, if you remember the context of Hair, there was a big war going on in 1968. It was getting really, really bad. There was also terrible problems and protest about civil rights. Yes, there was a few assassinations, too, which, in the news today, of course, there's a major politician assassinated, returning politician in Pakistan. So I don't know if we've really moved ahead or not. I'm not going to try to pontificate today because the new WHFR Journal, we're mainly dealing with local news, but everybody is still wishing for something, a new age to be dawning that might give, well, dare I say, peace a chance. Before we get to that, I last couple of weeks I have been mentioning Reverend Billy, who is a performance artist, that is, you might say, a comedian, an entertainer, And it's taken me a while to actually find his album. He had a CD out a while back. And the point about his album is that, and his book, which is entitled What Would Jesus Buy, is that we were kind of trapped in a sort of a useless materialistic world. And so we ought to make some changes. So I'd like to let you know that he's not just a faux preacher, okay, out for his own personal profit here. He does have a purpose underneath. And he's kind of entertaining, too. I saw Reverend Billy and his gospel choir about a year ago in Austin, Texas, in October of 2006. And he's quite a performer, and they do gospel-type songs, but with a message. So if you can listen to the lyrics here, I'm going to feature from his album Reverend Billy and the Church of Stop Shopping one song and a little bit of a lecture from him. And maybe this is a cautionary thing and maybe we've already been aware. I mean, the bills haven't come in yet if we've charged a lot for Christmas. But maybe we know we've maybe kind of overdone it. Maybe we want to have a different direction next year, New Year's resolution of sorts, to maybe buy less or buy only the things we really need. And so they approach things in this entertaining way, Reverend Billy and his gospel choir. And this is the song I want to feature is entitled Stop Shopping, and it's followed by a couple minutes of lecture from Reverend Billy. This is WHFR.FM. Oh, yeah, we're making waves.
Stop stopping, I feel the stop starting. Get ready, the fear is departing. Stop stopping, I feel the come on, shout it, yeah. We're going to back away. Brothers, by the way, to do that tonight. Can we? Hallelujah. Together, back away from the fallout. Find the power. Find the power to stop. 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 Stop shopping. Amen.
Welcome to the Church of Stop Shopping. I'm Reverend Billy with the Stop Shopping Gospel Choir. Here in the East Village in lovely downtown New York City, here with Brother James Solomon Ben.
Yes, I'm here with you, Reverend.
Today's message, we ask the question, who will be spared the coming of the Shapocalypse?
Yes.
Oh, we try to do the right things. We try to honor our family, our great nation. We maybe go to Disneyland or Walmart or Starbucks. We drive and we walk and we stand in line. We're Americans.
Yes, we are. Amen.
But then we get to the cash register. We turn and we notice our friends have burst into flames.
Oh, no, say it isn't so, Reverend.
Can you feel the burning?
Yes.
Do you feel that pain? Shopping.
No, no, no.
I'm standing in line all day with commercial foreplay pumped into my skull. Finally get to the cash register. Devil, devil, do it. Get it over with. Do it. Convert me into a savage yuppie. Cover me over with a style I have not earned.
Have mercy.
Let me chase the truly original people down into the dark alleyways and let me copy them and imitate them until they die naked and astonished. Let us pray. Let us pray to the God that is not a product. Let us put the odd back into God.
Hallelujah.
Are you there? Will you be strange enough? Can we change enough?
Yes, we can, Reverend.
We want to break through the retail wall.
Yes, sir.
We want to be warriors of bilessness. Can we be utterly inappropriate.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
We're coming back strong, Reverend.
There is a traffic jam rolling over me inch by inch. And it is killing children on the other side of the world. Can I stop my shopping?
Amen.
But we know also that we're learning to see and to feel that fire, the Shapocalypse. It registers as a kind of tempting dullness. There's only this barely perceptible feeling that we have forgotten something about ourselves.
Yes.
Something very important.
That's Reverend Billy and his gospel choir, his Church of Stop Shopping. Yes, he is a faux preacher, but actually, he makes some pretty good points there. Do you feel the burn in your wallet, perhaps, when you're checking out at the big box shopping center? If you know what we're talking about here, because you just experienced it in the last couple of weeks, maybe you want to, you know, consider New Year's resolution to change your lifestyle. I am joined in the studio here for the new WHOR Journal by our resident science expert and night sky reporter, Carrie Zait. So this is mic check time. Carrie, did you feel the burn in the last week?
There was a day when I did feel the burn, Jay, but I went home, opened a bottle of wine, and it all went away.
Okay, that's one way to smooth it out. Yeah, just get out of there. Get out of that situation, folks. I know some people are doing a lot of the shopping over the Internet, but that can be very tempting, too. It's almost as bad as watching those shopping channels on TV. There's a certain psychology about it. I know I accidentally activated one-click shopping at Amazon.com for my account, and I realized 10 minutes later I'd bought several things. I hadn't even thought it through. You know, I think I want that, and I, you know, it's all done. You don't even have to, you know, confirm or check your address or anything. So I turned that off. But, you know, you have to do everything you can to not buy stuff on impulse, and certainly buying less and only buying what you can afford, first of all, would be a great idea. It's kind of hard to think about what you might be able to afford if the money's not even there yet. So, you know, the charge card syndrome and so on. It is a, an upsetting sort of thing. So I hope, folks, that you did now get a little background. You got a feeling for Reverend Billy, his documentary feature about his life and his cause. Okay, it is a private sort of thing in terms of private profit, not a real church. But it has, I think, a good point, a good purpose, and it's very entertaining to challenge ourselves in that context. The movie is What Would Jesus Do? Same title as a book that he currently has on the market. And that documentary feature should be, it is opening, it has opened already in just a couple cities just before Christmas. I don't think anyone was brave enough, as I said last week, to open it way before Christmas, because people might actually understand his message and stop buying. Stop buying things that aren't needed, but find other ways to show their spirit and their feeling for what the holidays should represent, whichever holiday they happen to be on top of or into. And one of my thoughts are, and we did this last week, had a nice long interview with a representative from Peace Action of Michigan, which actually believes in protests and demonstrations, nonviolent ones, to try to change the direction of our society away from war, away from killing. And what could be a better goal than that, certainly? Of course, a lot of peaceniks have been called naive. Well, what are the best nonprofit organizations to support? Maybe you're not out there on the front lines of the demonstrations for Peace Action of Michigan. They are going to go down to Tennessee to get arrested in April, I understand. Yes, that's the Memphis is the big nuclear weapons production facility in the U.S., and every year they usually do it in August. But, you know, they, as he said, it was awfully hot last August in Memphis. And so that's not a good time to go outside and demonstrate and get arrested. So they're going to try for springtime in Memphis. It should be a lot nicer time to get arrested. I don't know if there's any better or worse time for that. So I made a list here, and I was checking it twice, of nonprofit organizations that I think highly of that maybe you want to find out more about. Maybe you want to give some money, you know, tax deductible before the end of the year, up to a certain limit, depending on what tax bracket you're in. But if you're interested in peace, there's Peace Action, either nationally or Peace Action of Michigan. And just Google or go to ask.com with these names. Pax Christi, that's a Latin thing. That's P-A-X and then C-H-R-I-S-T-I, Peace of Christ in Latin, of course. A big peace group of the Roman Catholic Church in America, which is now spread internationally. It started right here in Detroit in the 60s. In 66, Father Thomas Hinsberg began Pax Christi in the Roman Catholic Church, and now Thomas Gumbleton in Detroit is the current leader of that. And the Friends, American Friends Service Committee, also known as the Quakers. And they have action groups to feed people, teach people, counteract violence worldwide. Nonviolent, of course, totally. And you may think, oh, well, a Quaker, they just sort of hide in their house and they quake. And they, you know, they shudder and fear. No, they're very, very active group folks. And although I'm not a Quaker myself, you know, Richard Nixon was? That's quite ironic, yes. President Richard Nixon was always talking about how he was raised a Quaker, and then of course he got us into the Vietnam War, which went on, and you know, no Quaker would ever do that, folks. You know, they disowned him early on in the 60s. Don't ever say you're a Quaker. That's not, you know, what you're doing is not what we believe. But in any event, the Friends Service Committee, the American Friends Service Committee is their active name, and they're really into service worldwide, and something to consider investigating if. And you shouldn't let the religion stand in the way of the action, I don't think. Sierra Club, the number one environmental group in the United States. I think they're a wonderful organization. They have a local Michigan chapter. You can get involved and do things locally. Wonderful thing. And then, of course, besides taking care of humans and the planet, taking care of the little animals that we have domesticated, we've made dependent on us. not doing too well on that front. So consider supporting your local animal shelter, whether it is the Michigan Humane Society or maybe in Dearborn, the Dearborn Animal Shelter. They need help, support, volunteers of all kind all year long. And then the number one scientist-based organization for the environment and public safety is called the Union of Concerned Scientists. Now, they're not a union as such, but just they're sort of a coming together. They have all these wonderful reports and documents. They have people researching things, imagine, looking up the facts and publishing pamphlet after pamphlet, book after book, which you can get from their website. That's the Union of Concerned Scientists, UCS, Union of Concerned Scientists, USA.org. And it's a wonderful, wonderful organization. We get a lot of information from them here at WHFR, and I've been a member on and off through the years. They have a great magazine, and we've had interviews with them on this show, representatives from the Union of Concerned Scientists, who are, in fact, imagine this, people that actually know something about physics and chemistry and electricity and nuclear power and the environment, and they do further research, and then they publish for all to see. They don't just do sound bites, okay? What it's a wonderful thing. I know that Carrie Zaitz here in the studio probably thinks highly of scientists and has studied astrophysics, physics and chemistry, which has been put to the challenge this fall in Grosse Pointe. Hasn't it? Were you teaching science in Grosse Pointe High School this fall?
Yes, I am teaching earth science at Grosse Pointe.
Earth sciences, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And which age level?
Ninth graders in general. That's all I'll say about that. Some upperclassmen.
Of course, you're a teacher type person and you have a master's degree and so on, so you know some stuff that they don't. What is there? Can you generalize about ninth graders from your experience this fall about what they're especially either knowledgeable about or what they're lacking in terms of science?
I guess I could speak more to their ignorance since I am in the process of teaching them. It's just a general lack of awareness, I would say, about things in general. I'm sorry, Jack. It's like, I don't even know where to start.
Oh, my goodness, what a challenge. Well, they have said that, you know, science is not taught very intensively in our schools. And the scientific method, the whole approach of scientific thinking.
It's the thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah. And writing and reading. Oh, don't make me read, Ms. Zaitz. Don't make me read instructions or lab work. Or, you know, and it's an upward battle. And you know, I can understand, you know, some of the work is maybe a little bit tedious, but it's crucial for them to be able to understand what they read, put it to some sort of use.
There is so much information in books and magazines, current stuff, new stuff, mm-hmm. things that are happening now. I brought in a copy of the current publication, the magazine newsletter from the Planetary Society, which is another nonprofit group that I wanted to talk about. If you know of Carl Sagan, he was very influential in helping to found the Planetary Society. That's planetary.org. folks, if you want to look it up directly at their website. And they are encouraging exploration of our universe. And go to the moon, go to Mars. And like, why haven't we done that since 1969 when we first stepped on the moon? You know, we've been back a couple of times to play golf and things, but, you know, what has been going on? There's so much to learn and to find out about that can really benefit us. And Carrie has a special night sky report that she has especially prepared for today, which we're going to be featuring in about 20 minutes from now. So you definitely want to stay tuned. This is the new WHFR Journal here on WHFR.FM. We're going to see if we can get an announcement up here, and I thought it was ready, but it isn't ready. Ooh, now, can you believe this? Somebody has actually subscribed to Planetary Radio. What I've done, folks, is we play back our announcements here on WHFR on iTunes. It's an iTunes playlist because it's free, folks, and we don't, you know, nonprofit. We, you know, oh, they could donate to us too.
There
WHFR.FM. We're part of Henry Ford Community College. Get a double tax credit, in fact, if you want to do that before the end of the year. Check out our website, whfr.fm, for that. But one of the things the Planetary Society does is every week they have a 30-minute radio show that they produce. And you can subscribe and listen to the podcast of it for free. And somebody has it already here on the list. Can you believe that? There's somebody else here that knows about Planetary Radio. And well, we can't feature that. But there was an important announcement here that I did want to play. Yes, all about Henry Ford Community College, which is, it's closed right now. So that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. But you could still enroll in the winter semester that starts January 7th if I can make this work. And for some reason, I can't seem to make it work.
And we do have an astronomy class, actually several astronomy classes next semester,
yeah.
One of which I will be teaching. So
yeah.
I'd encourage you to
exactly
come to Henry Ford Community College.
I'm going to try to
expand your brain.
Yes, I'm going to try to clear out this. Here it comes. Okay. We are going to feature these two announcements and be right back with more of the new WHFR Journal. Last show for 2007. Happy New Year upcoming to all of you listening. But listen to these announcements and we'll be right back.
Thinking about.
Are you planning to enroll at HFCC this winter? Well, just so you know, the college will be closed December 22nd till January 1st. But we have good news. If you've already completed the admissions process, you can still register online. Visit hfcc.edu/webadvisor. The college will reopen January 2nd for in-person registration. But don't wait too long. Classes begin January 7th.
Thinking about going back to college but don't have anyone to care for the kids?
You're absolutely correct.
The HFCC State Licensed Child Activity Care Centers offers child care for children of HFCC students, staff, and the public.
Isn't that lovely?
The Child Activity Care Center is dedicated to providing quality care for toilet-trained children from ages 2.5 to 12 years old.
Oh, goody!
Your child is in great supervision with a child-teacher ratio of 5 to 1, which also allows for attention to be given to individual needs.
Isn't that something?
The center is open Monday through Thursday, 6:45 a.m. to 10:15 p.m. and Fridays from 6:45 a.m. to 4 p.m. Call 313-317-6527 for more information or visit HFCC's main campus at 5101 Evergreen Road, just south of Ford Road in Dearborn. The HFCC Child Activity Care Center.
Yes, child care is available here at Henry Ford Community College, too, for a very, very reasonable price, not just to our students, but to other people that need child care, too. It's a sort of an A-frame roof on campus at the south side of our campus here on Evergreen Road, south of Ford Road, and that's our child care center, all run by professionals. And during the break, just to, in case you weren't listening to the cleverly produced and heavily full of reverb announcements, Henry Ford Community College is closed. There was a gentleman this morning. He wanted to find a place his daughter could work on a paper, and the campus is closed. I directed him to the nearest public library, which might be open today, but it is the day before, you know, the New Year's weekend. A lot of businesses are actually closed down today, too. But in any event, I mean, not the department stores, of course. You can keep shopping, you know, or keep returning gifts if needed. In any event, we're closed until Wednesday, next Wednesday, January 2nd. But if you want to register for classes and you've already been admitted to the college, you already had some classes here even once in the last 20 or 30 years, you're in the computer and you can go online to hfcc.edu. And you can look at the classes available and choose them. And it might be an astronomy class, too. Maybe even that Carrie Zaitz would be in charge of. So take a look at all the listings. And I know I was checking on telecommunication in my area here. And this week we've picked up three, four students in every class. So people are aware that they can just go to the internet, hfcc.edu, and if they've been here before, ever, even for just one class, like the WHFR staff training class, only 1 hour credit for 8 weeks, hey, that's good enough. You're in the system. You can just go there and choose classes for next semester and enroll now, because things get pretty hectic in those last few days before January 7th, Monday, January 7th, when classes start up again. Okay, well, we will turn to, in a couple of minutes here, a couple of stories in the local papers. And, of course, at this time of year, the Dearborn Press and Guide likes to recap big stories from 2007, because they want to give their reporters a few days off, but they actually rewrite them and sort of summarize a few of them. And if you've already followed the show or you've been listening to our podcast from WHFR.FM, then nothing to go over, because you've already listened to it. You've already got the MP3 saved on your computer, so you can listen at any time to the top stories from this show anyway. But here's a news story, two news stories I wanted to at least mention today, and then we'll go back to some maybe New Year's resolutions. A new grant and plans move Dearborn projects forward. Of course, what's going to happen in East Dearborn, folks? Well, state and local officials are hopeful that two major redevelopment projects, one in the city's east end and one in the west, will bring much-needed jobs and investment capital to the area in the near future. The first project calls for the development of new office, housing, and retail space on the site of the old Montgomery Ward building at the corner of Michigan and Schaefer in the city's east end, while a multi-million dollar grant received last week will help support the construction of a multi-phased mixed-use development across 12 sites along Michigan Avenue between Howard and Military, and that's in West Dearborn. So that's sounds like great thing. I wonder where they got it from. We'll tell you right here. Together, the massive redevelopment projects are expected to bring nearly 900 jobs and more than $180 million in investment capital to the Dearborn area. Here's a quote from Mary Landrosch, Director of Public Information for the City of Dearborn. She says, given today's economy, we're very pleased to see these developers have chosen to make an investment in our community. If you remember, the city purchased the old Montgomery Ward site for $3.35 million, $3.3 million in 2005, and selected Redico as the preferred developer earlier this year. According to Barry Murray, Director of City's Community and Economic Development Department, the company plans to demolish the existing building and construct a new facility with Oakwood Health Group as its primary tenant. The medical group is currently in negotiations to purchase Midwest Health Center, which was originally named as the primary tenant. The company is still expected to transfer more than 300 employees. Now, they did have to give the city, if I may jump ahead here, they did have to give the city an additional head start of 90 days or so from now, because their first period ran out. Okay, and that was a little controversial to extend them again. Again, it's negotiations between these two healthcare facilities about who is going to buy whom out and at what price and so on. It was a little bit confusing, but they did allow a vote to allow, in a 4-2 vote, another 90 days. And objections were from Council President Tom Tefelsky and Councilman George Duraney, who expressed concern about the project. Tefelsky, there are still issues that need to be addressed. The development we're presented with now isn't the same one we were presented with a while back, and that concerns me. So it's not a done deal yet, folks. Okay. But on the west end, it's a grant from the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The Michigan State Housing Development Authority provides a state brownfield tax credit valued at $9.1 million and state and local tax capture worth $46 million. The Dearborn Village Partners project is seen as one of many being overseen by developer Hakeem Mr. Fakuri, a little tongue-tied this morning, usually, most mornings, and calls for the construction of mixed-use retail and housing, including two 10-story mid-rise condos. Wow, two 10-story mid-rise condos. That's mid-rise, 10 stories, and a tri-level 881-space parking deck. And it still boggles my mind that we need another parking deck. The two that we already have there are not even being used at full capacity. But as Mr. Fukuri has said in the past, if there's going to be more retail development, these developers or franchisers say, well, there's not enough parking space. Well, I think, well, we'll see what happens. I mean, who's going to get stuck with this? As Doug Thomas, who's been laying low for quite a while in the Dearborn City Council, but he has stated quite clearly, and I'm sure he still believes that there's some things that are still kind of messed up with both East and West Dearborn developments. And I know, of course, our mayor and the city council will feel rightly challenged next January and all through 2008 with this. Now, of course, if all this does happen in West Dearborn, it's expected to generate $125 million in investment and create 350 new jobs for all the new businesses that supposedly will be in there. You know, how many businesses have closed, though, and continue to close in this bad market? It's kind of difficult. Then I wanted to, if that's a sort of an up story, I wanted to, unfortunately, bring you down with the story that hit me in last Sunday, December 23rd, from the front page of the Press and Guide. Water and sewer rates are going up. Here's a story, Sean Delaney from the Press and Guide. Communities throughout the Metro Detroit area could see substantial increases in their respective water rates soon, pending action from the Detroit City Council. The council is expected to vote early next year on whether to set new water rates for the city and its many suburbs. Now, I read through the whole story, and I don't quite see how this works out, but rates that could increase cost by as much as 177%. Now, if you don't know your math well, folks, go back and take your science and math course. That's almost 200%, which is almost twice as much. Now, doesn't seem to be Dearborn or Dearborn Heights, because according to preliminary proposed figures released earlier this month, the city of Dearborn could see rates increase by as much as 8.8%, while a 15.3% increase has been proposed for the city of Dearborn Heights. Poor Dearborn Heights, they're going to get almost double the increase of Dearborn. What's going on there? Were they undercharged in the future? Anyway, it's up to the city of Detroit to decide, because we're dependent on them. They provide the water in our water lines. And we have tried to negotiate with them, several cities, Allen Park and Taylor and others, for better rates. Doesn't look like they're going down, though, folks. And that's the story there. And then if you wanted to go to page 12A, that's what we do on the new WHR Journal. You know, we turn the pages for you. That's right. Save you all the time. But then we try to find the story. If we go there and then not find the story in the where it's supposed to be, apparently they need a $286 million improvement project over 5 years at the City of Detroit Water Department. And, of course, we want to keep our water good and fresh and, you know, with all the sewage that goes into the water around, you have to make sure that the water we drink doesn't have much of that in it. The suburbs saw their water rates increase this year by only about 4%. But if they're going to try to cover the cost of that new project, the rates are going to have to go up somewhat. And by the way, if you're living in Detroit, you're not outside of this increase. It looks like Detroit residents' water rates, according to the proposal we have now, would go up 6.3%. So they'd go up even more than Dearborn's proposed, but not as much as Dearborn Heights. So it's quite a concern, and you will notice some increase in cost, maybe just a couple bucks. But there's nothing in the story that indicates who is going to get stuck with the 177%. I just wonder if that's a typo, whether it's maybe 17.7% somewhere, since Dearborn Heights might go up 15.3%. It's hard to believe that one of the suburbs, not Detroit, could go up almost double. Oh, well, keep aware of that, folks, and raise those questions with your elected officials. And unfortunately, though, it's the city of Detroit that has to figure out what to do. And I'm sure they're going to get all kinds of suggestions from the suburbs that have to go up in price. So what about that voting on January 15th? I was kind of naysaying the voting on the 15th of January, folks, because why? Well, it's the state has decided, the Democrats and Republicans have decided to make it just them. Not libertarians, not Green Party, not anybody else, just for them. And then the Democratic Party of the United States of America decided, well, we're going to boycott it. That we don't want anybody's name on the ballot. Now, somebody's name is going to be on the ballot for the Democrats. Is it Hillary's or Barack's? One of the major players is going to have their name there. And I haven't found out who that is for sure. But it's Tuesday, January 15th. And we do have a editorial here from our Secretary of State. As soon as I can find it. Yes, Terry Lynn Land, who is a Republican, I believe. Our last Secretary of State was Republican who went on to get, anyway. She says, Michigan voters can help determine the next president of the United States and the future direction of our nation. Every registered voter is urged to take part in our state's presidential primary election and let his or her voice be heard. A few things to remember. Anyone registered to vote in Michigan may participate. At the polls, you'll be required to state in writing which party's ballot you wish to vote in, Republican or Democratic. Again, they only give you two choices, folks. Yep. Even though there's many more legal parties, and it is not illegal to run as an independent in this country, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you have to be part of one party or the other. But this is only for the Dems and Repubs. And anyway, you can request a ballot. You don't have to be registered. In Michigan, you do not have to register as being part of one party or the other, but you have to, in this case, say you want to vote in one side or the other. Now, if you choose the Democratic Party's ballot, as we said, you'll notice that the names of some of the party's candidates do not appear. Four Democratic candidates voluntarily withdrew themselves from Michigan's primary. However, you may vote uncommitted rather than for a listed candidate. What, no write-ins? Terry Lynn Land? I wonder about that. Also, and she doesn't mention, but the Democratic Party of the United States of America has said this is their threat, this is their promise at this point, and maybe it's only a threat, is that when these elected delegates go to the Democratic National Convention, they're not going to recognize them. They're not going to seat them. Okay? Because we moved our primary up too far, too close to New Hampshire, and it causes confusion and all kinds of problems for the campaigners. Okay, so that remains to be seen whether or not if you vote on the Democratic side, it's even going to mean anything. So it's a mess. And I did go along with 2 weeks ago, if you remember, go re-listen to your podcast again. There is a proposal that one representative in Congress in the United States has up that in the future, 4 years from now, we should have a rotating system of primaries, that each part of the country would get its turn to go first, and very fair, and straighten everything out. And we need a national law about this, folks. We just need to do that. In the state of Michigan, my co-host at that time, Susan Morrell, our WHFR volunteer news director, she stated her opinion, it was mine too, that the state shouldn't have put out $17 million for the benefit of publicizing the Dems and the Republicans. Shouldn't have done that, you know, with the state in such a bad economic situation. Oh, well, the Republican side, though, you will notice the names of all that party's candidates are there. Again, you can have the option of voting uncommitted, though. And don't forget, you also need to meet Michigan's voter ID requirement. Michigan voter ID law is in effect, as it was one time this last fall. It was upheld by the Supreme Court last July and requires that voters, the Supreme Court in Michigan anyway, that voters present photo identification in order to vote. Properly registered voters that do not bring a Michigan driver's license, personal ID card, or other acceptable ID document need only sign an affidavit stating they don't have an ID to obtain a ballot. However, I understand that their ballots are held until they can be checked. So they're actually not in the first count. They finally are counted, but I understand they hold them back. I may be wrong about that, but they are not fed into the system with the initial count about who won or lost. So that's very inconvenient, but take some sort of photo ID with you if you are going to vote on January 15th. Of course, if you haven't registered to vote yet, it's too late now. You have to be a month in advance. And, hey, why not do that if you're on a break or something? Go to your city hall, register to vote. Take the whole family if they're over 18 and living somewhere, you know, got an address and so on. What a great thing to do for the holidays. Register to vote for the next go-around, which might be next November. That's the big one, folks, presidential election time. Absentee voters, you can get that ballot if you're not going to be in town. You can get go to your city hall. You don't even have to get it through the mail. Go to the city hall. You can vote in advance. If you think you're not going to make it to the polls on January 15th, just vote right there. They'll give you the absentee ballot. You check off what you want to do and put it back in the envelope and hand it right back to them, right at the city clerk's office in your local city hall. And you do have until 4 p.m. January 14th to vote in person. As an absentee voter, so the day before even. They're not going to send it to you in the mail. So that's the report from Terry Lynn Land, our Secretary of State of Michigan, and maybe you want to consider doing that and plan ahead. It is, I think, our Democratic duty to do it. I have problems with an exclusionary primary that's costing the state of Michigan $17 million and without any particular advantage except maybe to a few Republicans who didn't even really mention when they were here in Dearborn in October that they were concerned about the economy in Michigan because it's just one state out of 50 that's having this problem and what the hell. You know, I'm sorry to use that language, but even Fred Thompson, rather in his first debate, said, hey, Michigan, you know, it's not typical. You know, we don't have to do anything about it. Nobody cares about Michigan because it's not typical. You know, everything's fine everywhere in the U.S. Economy is wonderful. Thank you, Fred Thompson, for those remarks. I am paraphrasing, but that was basically what he said, and a few other Republicans said. Even Mitt Romney said about the same thing. Well, it's too bad about Michigan, but, you know, the country's doing just fine. So let's not worry about Michigan. And that's really sad, that slight. Few very, very active candidates, though, and there is some competition for within the Republican primary, and maybe Michigan, maybe it would mean something if you voted, especially in the Republican primary, if you are want to do that. Well, that's the stories I had for the time remaining, and we have just about 9 minutes to go, and it's just time enough for the Night Sky Report with Carrie Zaitz, and then I'm going to conclude with, again, if you listen to the lyrics, it's got a great beat, you can dance to it, but listen to the lyrics. I'm going to play the concluding, the big finale song from Hair from 1968, which technically is called The Flesh Failures. But it's also about the state of problems and social political issues at that time. Remember, they were in the midst of a big and incorrect and bad war internationally called the Vietnam War. And but it concludes with Let the Sun Shine In, kind of a positive thing. So we'll hear the Night Sky Report with Carrie Zaitz and then go directly into that to conclude the show. Coming up, Highway 61 with Chris Wright is coming in for the first 2 hours of Highway 61 for a vacationing Joe Ankorchitska today, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So without further ado, Jay Koronick, I just want to say goodbye and see you in the new year. Happy New Year to all of you out there. Be sane, be sensible with your partying. You know, it is politically correct to have somebody drive that actually is sober. Yes. So consider that. Stay safe, and we'll see you in the new year. And now, Carrie Zaitz and her Night Sky Report.
Have you ever wondered who is in the Space Club? The Space Club is a group of countries that can send things or people up into space. There are different levels of participation in a Space Club. If you have some money, expertise, and motivation, you can send stuff into space. If you have a lot of money, high-end expertise, and a lot of motivation, you can send people into space. Many countries have launched satellites into orbit for purposes of research, scientific, political, or military. Sending stuff into space is the first level of space exploration. The first satellite ever launched was the famous 200-pound beeping beach ball, Sputnik. The Soviet Union had launched not only the first orbiting satellite, but the first volley in what would be the increasingly heated space race between our two countries. A month later, the Soviets struck again with Sputnik 2, a heavier version containing not only a science payload, but Laika, a female dog. United States responded immediately. NASA was created, and in 1958, America successfully launched Explorer 1. Though the payload was smaller, it helped discover the radiation belt surrounding the Earth. It was clear that satellites were the wave of the future. 1960 was a big year for satellite firsts, the first solar probe, first weather satellite, first navigation satellite, and the first communication satellite. That was nearly 50 years ago. What would we do without our satellites today? From 1957 to 1962, the only members in the Space Club were the U.S. and the USSR. Canada knocked on the door of the club in 1962, though their Canadian-made Alouette satellite was launched by NASA. In 1967, the U.K. and Australia also joined in the satellite game, though they also used rockets from the U.S. to get their payloads into space. Japan entered Level 1 in 1970, launching their first satellite, Osumi. China followed with their satellite, and a year later, Britain launched a satellite from their own rocket. India and Germany launched satellites during the 1970s, but they used either U.S. or Russian-made rockets. In 1980, India launched a satellite from their launch pad using their own vehicle. The club was growing. Today, there are 7 satellite-launching-capable entities. The USSR, which is now Russia and the Ukraine, the United States, the European Union, formerly France and Britain, Japan, China, India, and Israel. North Korea and Iraq have also claimed orbital launches, but they remain unconfirmed. Many other countries are in the process of developing launch vehicles as well. This list does not include collaboration between countries that make their own satellites and countries that have the vehicles to launch them. The ability to launch vehicles into space is the first step in an expensive and dangerous club, but one that leads to the exploration of space. We'll explore the next levels of the exclusive space club next week. Meanwhile, enjoy the view of ruddy-faced Mars in the night sky. January is the best month to see Mars as he outshines the brightest star in the night sky, Sirius. Look up high in the sky above and to the east of Orion. You can also watch Venus and Jupiter edging closer to each other in the pre-dawn sky. Look to the east as the sun begins to make its presence known. Until next week, my friends, enjoy the view.
We starve, look at one another, short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smells from laboratories, facing a dying nation of moving paper fantasy, listening for the new told lies, with supreme visions of lonely tunes. Somewhere inside something there is a rush of greatness. Who knows what stands in front of our lives? I fashion my future on films in space. Silence tells me secretly everything, everything. Manchester, England, Manchester, England, England, across the Atlantic Sea. And I'm a genius, a genius.
Walking proudly in our winter coats. feeling down.